Not sure if any of us here this morning have ever really experienced genuine hunger and thirst. Although sometimes we get a glimpse of it or a taste of it, don't we? Maybe you've been in a situation where your next meal has been delayed. Have you ever been in that situation? Your routine's changed, you haven't eaten all day, and you say to yourself, I am starving. Have you ever said that? I'm sure we all have at some point. But then the next feed comes and that hunger and thirst is very quickly satisfied. Or maybe you've had to fast ahead of a surgery or a procedure in hospital and you wake up in the morning and your tummy's rumbling and you feel it and you're starving. But then in the hospital, that famous toast and tea comes. And it's funny, in hospitals, the toast always tastes better, doesn't it, for some reason? Maybe because you really want it, you need it. And that hunger very quickly is satisfied. For most of us, that's the extent of our experience of hunger and thirst. But for many people in this world, locally, across the world, food poverty is a real issue. Let me give you one example. In Sudan, East Africa, there's been more than a year of conflict, and that has led to that country being on the brink of famine. There are dangerously high malnutrition levels. More than half the country's population are facing what they call acute food insecurity. Fighting continues. And at this time of the year, they talk about hunger season starting because floods come, access to roads goes, and therefore this is hunger season. People are desperate. They have no food. They're really struggling. Struggling to survive. People with an intense, desperate longing for food. And it's that sort of hunger, it's that sort of thirst that helps us grasp what Jesus is saying here in Matthew 5, 6. But he's not talking about physical hunger and thirst. Jesus is getting at spiritual hunger and thirst. He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Essentially, he says, blessed are those who have a healthy appetite. Now, maybe you think about a healthy appetite and automatically you feel guilty, do you? Like I do. Healthy appetite. You look at all that fruit and veg and you're thinking about you've eaten over the weekend. This isn't about physical food. This is about a spiritual appetite. It's about our hearts. This hunger and thirst that Jesus talks about in Matthew 5, 6, is about a continuous, desperate, intense, all-consuming, passionate desire and longing. Jesus says, for his followers, life in the kingdom should be marked by a healthy appetite. And he says, it should be a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. That's what he says. This is Jesus talking. A hunger and a thirst for righteousness. Now, it's really important we don't go wrong here. It's really important we don't misunderstand what he's saying. We know that entry into the kingdom of God is only by grace. Salvation, it's only by grace. It's only by faith in Jesus Christ. There's only one way. As Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. At the cross, there was a glorious, beautiful exchange took place. Jesus took upon himself all of our sin, past, present, and future, all of it nailed to the cross. And the exchange was this. He gave us his righteousness. That's what happened at the cross at Calvary. And all of us desperately need this salvation. All of us desperately need this righteousness that we read of in 2 Corinthians. We need that so much. We need to be right with God. We need to be justified. We need our sins forgiven. All of us need that. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't come to Jesus yet, if you haven't trusted in him, if you haven't been rescued, why not do it right now today? Don't keep putting it off. Don't delay. Don't make excuses. Come to him today and he will quench your thirst. He will save you by grace if you come to him. But, and this is a very significant but, In Matthew 5, 6, Jesus is addressing people who are already in the kingdom. He's speaking to his followers. To them, to you and I, if we've trusted Jesus, he says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. What does that mean? What does that mean for us if we're believers, if we're in Christ, if we're following Jesus? Well, do you know, we should never think that the time of our conversion, our new birth, we should never think that that is an end point. That's the finish line. We should never think that. We should never think that no matter how long we've been a believer for, that we have spiritually arrived. We should never settle for what some people often refer to as a ticket to heaven in their back pocket. Have you heard that expression before? I've got my ticket to heaven. That's me sorted. I can sit back and relax now. Comfortable Christian living. We should never settle for that. That's not what Jesus calls his followers to. And we should never be in a place where we are willing to tolerate sin, tolerate unrighteousness, tolerate what one writer, Jerry Bridges, an American guy, is dead now, in a book called Respectable Sins, I remember reading many years ago. We should never be in a place where we tolerate things like jealousy and anger and judgmentalism and selfishness and pride. We should never tolerate those things. And we should never accept unrighteousness in the world. We should never just accept injustice and oppression and people struggling to get food to eat and Sudan and famine and wars. We should never accept all of that. Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. A healthy spiritual appetite involves a desperate, intense hunger and longing for righteousness, for holiness. This is about a pursuit of holiness. And it applies personally to us in our hearts and our lives, because we ought to be aware of the sin that remains in us. And we ought to have a real desperate desire that God would change us from the inside out, that he would cause us to be more and more like Jesus. Less of me, more of him. That ought to be our desire as we follow him. This hunger and thirst for holiness in our own lives. But also, we should have a desperate desire for holiness, for righteousness out there in the world. We should want our lives as individuals, as organizations, as churches, to have a kingdom impact. That's why we're here. We're not here just to keep going with a ticket in our back pocket to heaven just till we get there. God has called us to be fruitful, to live for him, to be changed by him, to have an impact for him. Elsewhere, later on in Matthew, actually, Jesus says we should seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. The Apostle Paul in Philippians 3 talks about wanting to know Christ, wanting to go deeper into a relationship with Jesus, wanting to be changed. Paul talks about wanting to know the power of his resurrection, participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. I think this is what it means to hunger and thirst for righteousness. This is what it means to have a healthy spiritual appetite. And I wonder, do you and I, if we're in the kingdom, do we have a passionate longing for this? Do we long to be more like Jesus? Do we long to be changed? Do we long that God would rule all of our lives, every moment? Do we long to be living lives that are obedient to his word, lives that are worthy of his calling, to be different from the world? Because this whole Sermon on the Mount is calling us as followers of Jesus to be radically different, not just to blend in with the society and the culture we live in, not to just be like everybody else. We ought to be different, distinct. And it should be an attractive distinctiveness that draws the world in, that they see how we live and they see Jesus. I wonder, are we hungry and thirsty for righteousness? Are we demonstrating that together in our organizations, in our congregations, in our individual lives? And we ought to do it together, because God doesn't want us to live this Christian life of discipleship by ourselves. We're not to go solo. We ought to be encouraging each other in this. Coming together to worship on a Sunday, coming to midweeks or discipleship groups or our prayer meetings, encouraging each other, spurring each other on as we pursue holiness together. And let's be really careful, and this is a real danger. Let's be really careful we don't fall into the trap of self-righteousness. If you're familiar with the Gospels, you'll have heard a lot about the Pharisees, the religious leaders, the people who should have known better. They were very religious. They wore all the right clothes, if you want to put it that way. They ticked all those religious boxes. And yet Jesus had very strong words to say about them. He said about the Pharisees, they appeared to people as righteous, but on the inside were full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Let's not settle for that sort of righteousness. Let's not settle for half-hearted, lukewarm, religious snacks. Sometimes we're guilty of that, aren't we? We'll have a wee bit of church, do a wee bit of religion, we'll tag that onto our lives, as long as it doesn't make us uncomfortable, as long as it doesn't affect us too much, as long as it doesn't mean that we're facing opposition from the world. That's okay, that's comfortable. But that's not what Jesus calls us to. A healthy appetite, spiritually speaking, is a hunger and a thirst for real change. It's a desperation for real change in our hearts and our lives. David expressed it really well in Psalm 42. He says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go to meet with God? Wonder, is that you? Have you a hunger and a thirst for him over and above everything else? Do you want more of Jesus? Is that the priority of your life? I think that's what this hunger and thirst for righteousness is getting. I wonder, how is your appetite today as you think about these things? Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And then he says, for they will be filled. There's a promise of complete satisfaction. Maybe like you, me, you've noticed nowadays that businesses, maybe you've your own business, but businesses, companies, online, locally, they're all trying to stand out from the crowd. The world is so competitive. And you'll notice on TV, for example, such bizarre adverts nowadays that sometimes you wonder, what is going on? This is so weird. But they want to draw your attention. They want you to remember them. They want to stand out. And one of the things some businesses use nowadays is what they call a complete satisfaction guarantee. Have you heard one of those? Come to us and you'll be completely satisfied. That's a guarantee. However, very often in the small print, there's a 12-month window for returns, isn't there? There's a warranty, because the reality is in this world, no one can really guarantee complete satisfaction. It just isn't possible at all. But in our lives, beyond business and advertising and all of that, isn't it true that you and I, people like us, people in the world, are desperately looking for satisfaction, are desperate for fulfillment and contentment, crying out for it? We live in a world full of dissatisfied people. People desperately want to be satisfied. And they're searching for satisfaction all over the place, spending money to try and find it, but often coming up short. And why do people come up short? Well, it's a bit like Augustine, one of the church fathers in the 4th century. He said this: our hearts are restless until they find their rest in the Lord. We desperately need him. We were created to be in a relationship with the Lord. The fall, sin, rebellion messed that up, caused us to be separated from God, caused us to make a mess of our own lives and the world. And because of all of that, because of sin, we are dissatisfied. We're unfulfilled. We've got discontentment marking the reality of our lives. And the truth is that nothing in this world can satisfy us. Ultimately, nothing can provide us with fulfillment. Sometimes we look to our careers, our jobs. It doesn't work. Sometimes we rely upon our families to give us this satisfaction. That doesn't work. Hobbies. Doesn't work. We're all longing for complete satisfaction, but it's unattainable. It's out of reach. The beautiful thing is that God, out of his great love for us in Jesus, has made a way back. He has made a path to blessing. He has made it possible for us to be in a right relationship with him, to have satisfaction. But only when we come to Jesus. Jesus says here, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Now that word, filled, it was used originally for animals who were fed until they wanted no more. Maybe some of you are in the farming community and you know what that's like. When they get their fill, they're satisfied. Jesus says to those who hunger and thirst for righteousness that they will be filled. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean for you and I today? Well, first, you and I, we can be filled, we can be satisfied, we can be fulfilled today. Right now, we can experience fulfillment when we come to Jesus. Our sinful hearts, our restless hearts can find satisfaction in him right now. When you come to Jesus, no more guilt, no more shame, no more hopelessness, no more fear. We can have this now. And we can enjoy satisfaction on an ongoing basis as Jesus provides for our every need. Jesus said to the Samaritan woman in John 4, whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. In John 6:35, he said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus satisfies our spiritual hunger and thirst now. You and I, we can enjoy spiritual kingdom blessings now. However, there's also a glorious future aspect to this promise of being filled, because we live in a fallen and broken down world, don't we? We all know this. Turn on the news for 5 minutes and we'll see it. Go out into the world yourselves, into the workplace, family life, out in the community. Very quickly we realize it's broken down, it's messy. And for believers, for the church, for people who love Jesus, we are in a secular culture and the tide of culture is coming at us, against us. And over and above all of that, Satan is prowling around like a roaring lion wanting to take us out. However, you and I can live our lives in light of the victory that Jesus has already won, the cross, the resurrection. We can know that we are in Christ. We can know that we have resurrection power living on the inside. And therefore, when we hunger and thirst for righteousness, you and I, in this world, in all the brokenness, we can look forward to glory. We can look forward to another righteousness. 2 Peter 3:13 says, but in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. What about that? Complete satisfaction guarantees in this world are never complete satisfaction guarantees, are they? They always disappoint. They always let us down. They never come through. They never keep their promises to us. This is the only complete satisfaction guarantee in all of history. The truth that when we're in the kingdom, the truth that when we trust in Jesus, you and I, as we sit here with all of our worries and all of our burdens and all of our fears, as we think about a messed up world, you and I have a guarantee that one day we will go to see Jesus. One day we're going home. One day we're going to glory, that place where righteousness dwells. What about that? It's not something to strengthen our hearts, to encourage our hearts today. This world is not all there is. God has prepared a place for you and I. And in that place, in the new heavens and the new earth, we will be completely satisfied. No more hunger, no more thirst, completely satisfied. So you and I may not know very much about real physical hunger and thirst. But if we're following Jesus, if we're living in the kingdom for him, our lives ought to be marked by a spiritual hunger and thirst, a healthy appetite. We ought to want more of Jesus, not more religion. Religion isn't going to help us at all. Not more superficial stuff like that. We ought to want more of him. We ought to be pursuing holiness. We ought to want to be changed by grace. Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Let's all pray. Father, we thank you for the way in which you strengthen and encourage our hearts when we come to your word. Father, forgive us when we try to satisfy ourselves. Forgive us when we settle for a sort of half-hearted, lukewarm religious experience. Father, we want to go deeper in our relationship with Jesus Christ. We want to know Jesus more. We want to be changed from the inside out. Father, thank you that our hope is built not on our careers in this world, not on our families, not on our traditions, not on our denomination. Our hope is built only in Jesus' blood and righteousness. Father, help us to be a people who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn.